Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners today. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
To be a strong voice for God in our society calls for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, you have commissioned us, according to your word, to tell the story of Jesus Christ and to confront men and women with the glorious message of the gospel. Father, we confess that often we are not faithful to that which you have commissioned us to do. So we pray today that you will help us to understand what are some of the qualifications for a servant of God. Help us to understand how we enter into that personal relationship with your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning with verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Oh,
friends in Christ. When a basketball team has a bad game, the coach is often quoted as saying, "They are young. Give them some time. They have a lot of potential. They'll do okay." Jesus knew that his disciples were young. They had a lot of potential to accept life's greatest assignment, that of training people to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. But first they had to be trained themselves. So finally, one day, he demonstrates what he means by this. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee when he came upon two fishermen by the name of Andrew and Peter. Without a doubt, Andrew and Peter had learned of Jesus before, and this was not by any means their first meeting with him. He looked at them as they were cleaning the nets and said, "Come, and I will make you fishers of men." Now notice what Jesus is saying. "You come, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus Christ is the one who is doing the making. And what is he doing? He is going to make Peter and Andrew, together with some others, fishers of men. They are not going to be self-made disciples. They're not going to be doing this evangelism on their own part and with their own power. It is a part of the work of Jesus Christ's church, but they will be the leaders in it, and therefore he is going to make them those servants who can train others for life's greatest assignment, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. This is a message that he also brings to us this day as members of his church some 2,000 years later. For we today are the disciples who are to carry the message of Christ to those who are round about us and to various parts of the universe. There are some basic truths that a real servant of Jesus Christ must have. And he must know them as far as his own or her own life is concerned. The first one is this: the disciple, man or woman, must be in a personal relationship with God. Notice when Jesus selected his disciples, they were ordinary men. You could almost hear him say, "Give me 12 ordinary men. And if by the grace of God they will give themselves to me, I will change the world." And that's exactly what he did. For the world has never been the same after they once heard the stirring message that Christ was Savior and Lord. When you have met Christ, you are different. St. Paul has said it so well. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, it is good for us to know that this relationship with God is entirely possible. God does not just want to be the creator God. He is that. God does not only want to think of us as the omnipotent, omniscient, and all of the rest. He is that. And he wants us to know that he is that too. That's not my point. But God wants to go on and tell us that he is also very personal, and he wants to be known as our Father. He is the one who wants to come into our heart. He who has created this world and is everything that the Bible says he is. He wants us to know that he likes us, that he loves us, and that he wants to walk with us. Remember those words of Jesus? Here he is bringing in this point very clearly. He said to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know the master's business. But rather, I call you friends." Can't you just get that idea of a personal relationship? Now, this is Jesus who is saying, God wants to be in a personal relationship with you. He wants to walk with you every day. He wants to guide you and protect you and forgive you, encourage you and strengthen you, until one day by His grace, He will take you home to be with Him. He's the one who wants to say, I can forgive your sins and I can restore you into fellowship with God forever. This personal fellowship, then, is very, very important. So now, if you could imagine, and that is not the way that He did it, but let's just say that Jesus had decided He was going to train these disciples to be His servants and make them fishers of men, that He had them in a classroom, and He's beginning to teach them some very basic truths. The first basic truth is, you can be in a personal relationship with God, and I will make you one of those disciples who walks with Christ. That is my purpose. St. Paul said it well. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Now remember, the disciple, the potential person who is going to carry the gospel to this world, had heard this basic truth verbally from Jesus Christ. You are to be in a personal relationship with God. You can't be much of a disciple unless you have that relationship yourself. Then one day, God thought, in the person of Jesus Christ, I am now going to demonstrate to these disciples exactly what I mean. So He performed a miracle. The miracle was not only to help the person who was being healed, but the miracle was also for a teaching purpose, teaching those men, those ordinary men, how to be servants of God. They brought to Him one who was a paralytic. And Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. When those round about Him heard that, they thought this was blasphemy. Who are you to grant the forgiveness of sin? Only God can do that. And so Jesus turned to them and said, whether it is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk, let me say to you, young man, you take up your mat and you go home. And the person immediately took up his mat and he walked home. And they were amazed at what they had seen, as were also those fishermen, tax collectors, and all of the others who were the 12 disciples of Jesus, that this person who had called them to be His disciples had the ability to forgive sin. And when sin could be forgiven, they could be in a relationship with God Almighty forever. Here's another example. One day they brought to Jesus, you can read this in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John if you want to, a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery. The Pharisees said, all right, Jesus, how are you going to handle this one? According to the law of Moses, this woman should be stoned. What do you say? And while they were talking, Jesus stooped over and He began to write in the sand. As He wrote in the sand, He said, let you who is without sin cast the first stone. We don't know how long it took, but every minute must have been an eternity, and there was no one who cast a stone, and they began to walk away. And then it was that Jesus straightened up, looked at the adulterous woman whose sin He certainly did not condone at all, and He said, did anybody condemn you? She replied, no one, Lord. And then Jesus uttered these almost impossible words. Neither do I condemn you. You go and sin no more. And those disciples saw a woman who had fallen into the depths of sin completely forgiven. For Jesus had the power to forgive sin through what was coming in His life a bit later, to suffer and to die on a cross and to be raised again. And that was a payment that was accepted by the Father that he could declare to that woman that day, your sin is forgiven. They soon learned to know that that was what we call grace. That is God's willingness to forgive us, and we contribute not a thing ourselves. They learned, and that's a part of the training process. They saw it demonstrated that God does not condone sin. That woman's sin, left unforgiven, would have damned her. But by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that sin, your sin, my sin, regardless of whatever sins they are, can be forgiven. You and I then can live in a personal relationship with God. That's the message that the disciple was to bring to the world. And that message, my friend, regardless of all that we have learned in these 2,000 years, has not changed one iota. We might learn how to explain sin, but sin must be forgiven before there is any real peace. Cast your sins before God and trust in Jesus Christ, and they will be forgiven. That is what we call the ministry of grace. And that is the ministry of the Christian church. Sure, we are to tell what the law is all about. But the law can only bring us to a conviction of our sin. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ alone that can grant the forgiveness of our sin. The people that I meet are people who know pretty well that they are sinners. They're asking, what is the solution? And if you are wondering today, if you say, yeah, you don't have to tell me that I'm a sinner, I know it. I don't do things right at all. There are so many things in my life that are not according to God's word. And I don't like them any better than he does. I tell you the solution. The answer to have your life turned around is to trust Jesus Christ. So there in the classroom, Jesus had taught very clearly that a person can live in a personal relationship with God when his sin is forgiven and Christ can forgive sin. Then he took it out of the classroom and he applied it. These disciples could see what was happening in the lives of these people. When their sin was forgiven, they became entirely new individuals. Haven't you seen that? Haven't you seen that in your own life if you're a Christian? The fact that you can unburden every day gives you new peace, new joy, security, and comfort. And if you and I are going to be servants of Jesus Christ, expounding this glorious message, we must understand because we have it in our own lives. Well, the early disciples finally got it. It took them a long time, 3 years, before it began to register. Kind of goes back to our introductory remarks. They were a young team. Give them some time, and you'll see them perform. And that's what we see on Pentecost Sunday when it was a man by the name of Peter. A Peter who had no understanding of grace. I don't even know if he knew what the word meant. A Peter who knew very little about forgiveness of sins in his religion. It was all law and all ceremonial. But now he stood in the presence of other people, thousands of them. It was Pentecost. And he had preached his great message that you crucified Christ, but God raised him up. And then it was that they came to him and said, "What shall we do?" Because the Lord Jesus had trained them, and the Holy Spirit had made this truth for them. They could say, "You can be forgiven." On Jesus, and so Peter turned to them on that day and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In other words, in simple form, he was simply saying to them, "Look, you can be forgiven." And that day, 3,000 people left Jerusalem, their sins forgiven. They were new people in Christ. That was the birthday of the church. John also had learned this very, very well. And so one day when he was sitting there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and writing his letter that appears in our New Testament, he added some very, very important words. Chapter 1 of 1 John, beginning with verse 6. "If we claim to have fellowship with him," that is with God, "yet we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." Now notice, "and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin." That, my friend, is the gospel. Ours is a ministry of grace. We reach out to tell the story. And so we may be young, but you grow in that grace, and you'll have something to tell to the world. The good news that Jesus Christ has come to be their Savior. Amen. Lord Jesus, today we bring that message that you first gave to us, that if we will confess our sins, you are willing to forgive us. And that has been done through your suffering and death at the cross of Calvary. Lord, for that atonement that pays full price for all of our wrong, we thank you. Help us to think clearly of what your word has told us today, that as those early disciples had to be in a personal relationship with you, so we must also be in that relationship. Help us to understand that you are the one who created that fellowship in the hearts of Peter and John and the rest. And it is your Holy Spirit alone, as you speak to us through the Word of God, preached or read, that can also create that faith. Will you do that today, Holy Spirit, that we may be effective witnesses of yours? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. Many of you have become a broadcast sponsor, sending a gift of $100. This generous gift pays for 1 week's broadcast on the station you listen to. We thank our broadcast sponsors for helping us to buy radio time on 34 stations in 12 states across the nation. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.